It is a Monday, first day of the week. It's a little after 11 o'clock, and of course we have Dr. Jen Mensing from the practice here because we do the practice hour. We're going to talk about methione.
Methionine. Yeah. Methionine. Do you mind, Terry, if I start just before we do that?
Oh, yeah, yeah,
talk
yeah.
about something that the last hour that Brandon was talking about.
Absolutely.
I just, it's so heavy on my heart. Go vote. Darn it. Go vote.
Don't wake up on Wednesday morning thinking, oh shoot, I forgot to vote yesterday.
Yeah, well, if you don't vote, you can't complain. Right? I mean, maybe that's just vote. I beg of people listening, go vote. Make it a priority.
When I had my restaurant, I had some waiters and waitresses that didn't see the political world the way that I did, and we get into these discussions. And finally, I said to a couple, I said, "Well, did you guys vote in the last election?" They go, "Oh no, I've never voted." It's like, okay. We're ending this discussion right now because I'm not going to waste my time on people who don't even vote. No.
Anyhow, we're getting sidetracked already. I want to talk about methionine today.
Okay.
All right. And methionine restriction. All right. And there's a whole bunch of stuff, research, and fairly new stuff that's coming out in the last few years.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it would be good to sort of talk about it. All right. We've known that cutting calories, Terry, restricting calories, is very important for longevity. All right, that's been well known. We've talked about that a lot.
Right, all right?
But there's a new, there's a lot of research coming out that says maybe it's more important not only to cut calories but to cut protein. All right, the protein calories. All right, so that's what we're going to talk about this morning. Where we are research wise with this, and it has to do with what's called methionine metabolism. All right, you can't make methionine. All right, it's one of those amino acids that you have to
digest.
All right,
right,
and that. All right, and it's an amino acid that's in proteins. Essentially, that's the best way to say it. But there is phenomenal, very, 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 very high correlation with methionine levels and lifespan across all the mammalian world. All right, there are literally hundreds of studies. All right, just amazing stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll talk further on later where there something like 400 studies on mice and rats and things like that with methionine. But only two in humans, right? But this is cutting edge stuff, all right? And we're going to talk about these issues and what probably the root issues are for it, all right? You can take healthy pigs, all right? Healthy guinea pigs, and and if you restrict their methionine down to 40% of what they usually would eat, they live 40% longer.
Okay. And
wow.
How did they restrict the methionine?
Dietary.
Just dietary.
Dietary. All right. But we have other studies that show in mice three times higher levels of methionine than what they call naked male rats. So, just a type of rat.
Mm-hmm.
But they live seven times longer. So we're going to try to sort through where the research is, what's coming out, what do we do?
Because we have and how do we apply it to ourselves?
Exactly, because it's a conflicting area kind of thing, all right? Probably the simplest way, the simplest way I can say it, all right? And this is not totally true, Terry, but the less methionine you have from a certain type of protein, the longer you're going to live, all right? That's probably the best way to say it, all right? And if I restrict your methionine amino acid in your all right, essentially in rats, they live 44% longer just by restricting that methionine, all right? Now, what does methionine do? Why is it work kind of thing, all right? And first of all, methionine restriction boosts FGF21, and this is a molecule that increases autophagy, gets rid of precancerous cells,
right, stuff like that.
All right?
Right.
Okay?
It's almost like it's the garbage keeper.
Yeah. That's a good way of saying it, Terry. A methionine restriction also decreases IGF-1, which decreases inflammatory states.
Mm-hmm.
All right. We now know almost every illness is started and precipitated by an inflammatory process.
Right.
Even coronary artery disease, which, you know, 10 years ago, we didn't know, Terry. It was kind of laughable to say, you know, coronary artery disease is an inflammatory process. Yes, it is. All right. Methionine essentially has what's called a pro-oxidant effect, but essentially increases the oxidative stress markers in your blood, all right? So it has a lot to do with stress, the bottom line, Terry. All right? So if I take and restrict protein synthesis in animals, all right, it essentially reactivates certain senescent cells. Senescent cells are cells that are sort of not living. They are living, but they're in hibernation.
They're dormant?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good way to say it. All right. Now, I can take the plasma from somebody with very low methionine levels, all right, and I can put it in the cell culture, all right, and it will increase the length of those cells living 60 to 75% longer. So there's something there. Now, this is cell cultures. It's not humans. All right,
right. Right.
We know that the methionine, it resists stress better if you have, all right? It resists the stress from heat, exhaustion, things like that. It resists radiation stress. It decreases carcinogenesis, which is essentially you trying to get more cancer, all right? And it decreases free radicals. So all this stuff is coming out. Now, let's say it again, Terry. Methionine, this research is early.
Mm-hmm.
You know, much of this has come out in the last 5-10 years now.
And let's be clear, we don't make methionine. It isn't
exactly.
it's not in our system, but the more methionine you take, the more detrimental it is to your health.
We're going to delve into that. Exactly.
Okay.
Terry, because that everything I've said so far, you would say that.
Right.
All right, that's a natural logical from everything I've said so far, that's a natural logical conclusion.
Mm-hmm.
But it's dead wrong.
Okay.
All right. So, so let's go into it. All right. So first of all, let's talk real quickly how you would lower it. All right.
Okay.
Number one, caloric restriction, you know, fasting, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Intermittent fasting benefits may be secondary to decreased methionine. And we have research coming up. I'm a strong believer in intermittent fasting and fasting protocols. All right.
Right.
And much of the benefits may be due to the methionine decrease. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
We're not for sure of that, but there's a lot of research coming out saying, oh my gosh, this may be where it's going. All right. The second thing we mentioned it depends where you get your methionine from. All right.
Okay.
And we've mentioned the diet of the blue zones, you know, these five areas where people live over 100, you know, one of them is California, Loma Linda, all right?
Mm-hmm.
And they're all vegetarians down there, by the way. And if you're going to do vegetarianism properly, call your local Seventh-day Adventist church, and they
actually have pamphlets and...
Well, they have courses. I don't know.
Right.
I guess they're courses, but they'll have classes on how to become a proper vegetarian.
Got it.
Because if you don't do it right, you get in trouble. That's probably the biggest issue, all right?
Mm-hmm.
But the next thing is, if you decrease the methionine from animal protein and increase the methionine from plant based things,
mm-hmm.
the results are phenomenal. It's very, very good. All right.
So there's something different between the methionine that comes from
from plant-based versus
animal.
Now, we don't know for sure why, Terry. Okay. Now, where are the highest methionine levels in the meat you eat? you know, for people listening, fish and poultry.
Okay.
All right. Higher than red meat. Okay.
Wow.
You know, that's kind of, I was as scary as the right word, but it's true. All right. The thionine levels are highest in fish and poultry. All right. Now, the next thing that happens, you know, well, let's real quickly go over this graph, but the methionine content of foods. All right. But fruits, and this is methionine per 100 milligram percent based weight. But fruits, 7, vegetables, 14, grains, 26, nuts, 31, beans, 54. Now, let's shift over. Dairy, 127.
Oh.
Red meat, 219. Eggs, 235. Poultry, 489. Fish, 605. Oh, my gosh.
Sounds like you should avoid those last three.
Well, we'll talk. We're going to talk about that. I want to get into this idea of what happens, the relationship between methionine and obesity and insulin resistance and mm-hmm. type 2 diabetes. Okay. All right? I don't know if you want to do that or we should take a break or...
Yeah, we'll go ahead and take a break and then come back and start
We'll talk about if you have insulin resistance, what's the issues with methionine?
Okay.
All right? And what to do about it.
And insulin resistance is related to type 2 diabetes.
Insulin resistance is type 2 diabetes. If you're type 2 diabetic, how does methionine fit into this?
Right. Because insulin, you got plenty of insulin, your cells are not hearing it.
People don't realize a type 2 diabetic has more insulin than a normal person, but the receptors are all resistant to it.
Right.
Okay.
There you go. We're going to be right back. You listen to The Practice Hour with Dr. Jan Mensink on Maxwell in the Morning. Good to the last mic drop. We're here talking about methionine, its importance, and hopefully at the end of this we'll have some sort of idea of dietary-wise where it's going. Yeah, where it's going.
That's probably at the very end. All right, so we mentioned insulin resistance. All right, mm-hmm. Essentially these are people who, most of them are obese, by the way, not all of them, all right, about 15% of insulin resistant patients, type 2 diabetic.
Right.
Roughly 15% are not obese, all right?
Right.
Most of them are, all right, and in fact, if you're overweight, all right, and you're a type 2 diabetic, these patients can cure that diabetes by losing 10, 15 pounds.
Right.
All right. Okay. What about insulin resistance, these type 2 diabetics with methionine? All right. But if you decrease the amount of insulin, you decrease the amount of methionine in a person, you will decrease the chance of them having type 2 diabetes. All right?
Okay.
That's interesting. All right? So if I can cut the amount of methionine levels down, it literally can decrease that chance of having type 2 diabetes. All right? And it may be, we don't know this for sure, but that group of type 2 diabetics that are not obese, this may be part of it now, and we'll hopefully go into it later in the program, has to do with related sulfur-related compounds, which are tied to methionine, all right? There are hundreds of, to get a handle where we're at research-wise, there are literally hundreds of studies in rats and other animals with methionine, all right? And they're called branched-chain amino acid studies. That's the classic where you look under if you want to go to PubMed. But there's only 2 studies in humans that tell you, where we're at, all right? We're not there yet kind of thing. But here's the bottom line. The more animal protein you eat, the more insulin resistance you have, and the more chance of increased diabetic risk you have, all right? Now, the other study suggests the higher the plant protein diet, the less insulin resistance you have, And here's the thing. You can just change two meals, no, helpings or servings of meat to per week to plant-based meat.
I was going to say take 50% of the time that you're eating meat-based and replace it with
just two plant. Two helpings per week. That's not very much, Terry.
No, that's not. That's hardly anything.
That's hardly anything. And the studies show it shows a marked change in insulin resistance in these people. All right. So the question we have that goes through is, we know this is effective in the obese, all right? Okay. But those that are insulin resistant type 2 diabetics that are not obese, it may be related to this, to methionine issues, all right? The problem with the research, Terry, is we there's no question if I decrease the animal protein, all right? Essentially, I'm decreasing the amount of methionine.
Right.
All right. It also decreases fat. But the question that people address is, say, Holder, is it the fat that's helping versus the methionine that's helping? Do you follow what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
All right. Now,
it's not excluding one or the other.
Exactly. But it is probably, and it's very early, it's too early to say 100%, but it is probably the methionine levels from meat protein, all right, versus veggie protein that make the difference, all right? Now, you know, as I say, Terry, there's still research going, you know, it is not settled yet for sure. Is that the right word to say?
They got a ways to go.
Yeah. But if you eat meat, if you're a meat eater, all right?
Right.
You have 50% higher insulin levels in your blood than a person that eats plant-based proteins. That's kind of amazing.
But we have to start out with the fact that proteins are important.
You have to have
proteins. You have to have proteins, and you want to have proteins. You want to have proteins.
Where do you get plant?
Your carbohydrates.
Where do you get plant-based proteins?
Beans.
Beans, lentils, legumes, things like that. All right. But the issue, Terry, is that if I eat a heavy meat-based diet, all right, my insulin levels in the blood are 50%, that's huge, higher than a person who eats mostly a plant-based protein diet.
Oh, all right? Other good protein from plant is nuts.
Yes. Oh, that's very good. So we know that if you eat a diet heavy in plant-based proteins with very little meat, all right, it decreases your fasting blood sugar, and it decreases your insulin levels. And all right, those studies are very sure. All right, now here is the interesting thing. If I eat one egg white daily, not the yellow, but the egg white
daily
for 4 days. Not very much, Terry.
No.
That's not very much. One egg white daily for 4 days, it increases my insulin levels by, guess how much?
25%?
60%.
60%.
60. Wow. Oh, my gosh, Terry. All right? When you start looking at these, and these are human studies, Terry, you start looking at this and you're going, oh, S-H-I-T, you know, what's happening here?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
And we go back to the blue zones where these people who live over 100, all right, these centenarians, and they're mostly vegetarians. Those that are not vegetarians eat less than 20 grams of protein a day. That's it's like a great big silver dollar kind of thing of protein. They eat hardly any meat. They're almost vegetarians. But these people live the longest, all right? But this fact that they did studies where just eating one egg white daily for 4 days, and that's nothing, Terry. Nothing. Just increases those insulin levels by 60%. That's hard for us to imagine.
Well, you know, you talk about the blue zones, but there would also be the opposite of that. I guess you'd call it the red zones. But that's true. That's true. When you look at the communities where beef and potatoes and this is what they normally their longevity isn't anywhere close. I mean, those are the areas that you don't want to live in because they do have a very high mortality rate based on cardiovascular accident and things like that.
Sure. Now, let's maybe, Terry, I'm a strong believer of living a Blue Zone lifestyle. People listening, Google Blue Zone. Just amazing stuff on the web about it. But it's not only – diet is only a small part of the Blue Zone lifestyle.
Just one thing.
One out of the 11, all right? It's only one – it's a small part, okay? Mm-hmm. It's not only diet, all right? I mean, it's important, but it's not only diet. Now, if I eat potatoes and tuna every day for a week
– okay.
And take another group that eats potatoes and broccoli for a week – do you know that the insulin resistance in the potatoes and broccoli group, just 1 week, Terry, the insulin resistance goes down 40%? Oh, my gosh. This is hard to believe, Terry.
Insulin resistance going down, you're simply saying that the chance of
type 2 diabetes is going way, way down.
Right.
And why is that good? The risk, decreased risk of strokes, heart attacks, all these crazy things.
Well, the insulin has got to be somewhat involved in the inflammatory process that does these things to our body.
Exactly.
And so the less insulin you've got.
In fact, that's a very good point. As we've mentioned other programs, almost all illnesses start with an inflammatory process in the human body.
Mm-hmm.
And the insulin resistance, and it's usually through IGF-1, all right, this is where it gets screwed up with the insulin resistance with the methionine from animal proteins. All right. Now, we have human studies about breast and prostate cancer, all right? People with breast cancer and prostate cancer. Now, this is people listening, listen up. This is, oh my gosh, kind of thing, all right?
Mm-hmm.
If you take these patients with breast and prostate cancer and you decrease their protein intake from animal sources from 21% to 7%.
Threefold, there's a threefold decrease.
What happens to them? So I take patients with breast cancer and prostate cancer. I decrease their protein intake from animal protein down to vegetable protein, essentially is what we're doing, from 21% down to 7%. All right?
Mm-hmm.
Here's what the studies show. 56 to 70% decrease in cancer growth in all patients with marked less decreased IGF-1 levels in these patients.
Right.
This is huge, Terry. And we have studies now, many, many studies coming out, all right, where if I have cancer and I fast before the cancer chemotherapy treatment, it increases the autophagy. It increases how good the cancer cells or how
effective it is, the chemical is.
More effective the cancer cells are to the chemotherapy. That's
right,
the best
right.
way to say it, okay? And that's I don't want to go into that. That's a topic for another day. But fasting before chemotherapy, we have very good studies showing I'm not sure it's all chemotherapy, but in general chemotherapy, all right, helps, and especially the studies for breast and prostate cancer, helps increase the survival, all right? I really didn't drill into all cancers and how long, that kind of stuff. That's a program for another time. But it's showing us roughly where we're going research-wise, all right, with this area. All right? Now, the next thing I want to do is I want to maybe, I don't know if you want to take a break or not.
Yeah, we can take a break.
I want to talk about related to this, Terry, is foods high in sulfur content and people eat Sammy E, things like that.
Okay.
And how this affects that.
Okay.
That's probably where I want to go next.
That sounds great. We're going to be back in just a minute. You listen to Maximal in the Morning. We're in the practice hour with Dr. Jan Mentzink.
she's singing. Ooh, baby, ooh,
say ooh. All right, we are back with Dr. Jan Mensing from The Practice. We call this The Practice Hour. We talk about subjects that we think are important to everybody with their health and how they can live a better lifestyle. Methionine is one of those chemicals. Well, how long has it been around that methionine has been known to be?
I think in about 1909 or 10,
right,
it was discovered. All right. In fact, I believe also there were some somebody got the Nobel Prize for finding out about it. I mean, this is years ago. All right, but it's been around a long time,
and it's exclusively just in proteins. It's an essential amino acid, right?
But you can get it in it's a protein. It's what's important for building proteins.
Mm-hmm.
All right, and more important than that is you can get it in plant based or animal based. We just mentioned the two most common, highest ones are where you get it is fish and poultry. But it's better. The bottom line is it depends where you get your methionine as to the risk issues. All right,
mm-hmm.
And the more methionine you get from animal-based proteins, the better you're going to do. That's probably the best way.
From plant-based.
Yes. All right. Now, interventions. There's 11 different aging pathways, all right, that we know of.
Right.
AMPK, autophagy, cellular senescence, epigenetics, glycation, IGF-1, inflammation, mTOR, oxidation, all these kind of things.
Right.
All right? I'm going to read off, Terry, a series, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, different things, and I want you to tell me which one is the most effect on altering these to help more. The most effect to alter these to have more effect on longevity.
Okay.
All right. Number one, exercise. Number two, smoking cessation. Number three, caloric restriction. Number four, animal protein restriction. Number five, decrease in animal foods. Decrease in certain processed foods. Number seven, increase in certain plant foods. Which one of these, Terry, has the most effect on longevity? Quitting smoking, maybe?
Huh? The fasting calorie restriction.
It's actually animal protein restriction.
Oh, okay. Animal protein.
Right?
Yeah, that was my second choice.
That's more important than quitting smoking, all right?
Right.
For these things. Yeah, it's some of this research is coming. I mean, I want people to quit smoking, don't get me wrong, all right? But it's more important, the way it looks like so far, than quitting smoking.
Got it.
This is kind of, how should I say? It's amazing, all right?
Well, it's counterintuitive because, you know, everybody loves a nice, juicy, thick steak or a wonderful piece of
Terry,
sea bass.
Yeah, Terry, let's maybe just summarize, okay, real quickly.
Okay.
I'm not against eating steak and fish and all. There's other good things from this, all right?
Right.
It's the amount you eat and if that's all your protein issues are from, all right? I'm not against having a steak.
Well, you just said if you simply change it twice, two meals a week.
Exactly.
You would improve everything.
Oh my gosh,
a lot.
Yes. See, this is the thing. It doesn't take an awful lot, mm-hmm. Terry. I'm not saying people never eat meat again, never eat fish again. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying look at your risk issues and maybe alter those lifestyles.
Mm-hmm.
All right? Just a little bit. All right? Okay. I want to talk about, this is a paper that was, I think 2022. Yeah, November 22 was published. All right? But has to do with, maybe the simple way I want to, methionine has to do with sulfur metabolism. Because
mm-hmm.
all methionine has to be sulfated to make it work. I don't want to go into that. That's kind of another topic. But why you need sulfa and what the issues are. All right. And this is a pay, I think done by NIH, if I remember right. But essentially, why you need sulfa is if you don't have enough sulfa, you get diarrhea, you get inflammatory bowel disease, you get ulcerative colitis.
Mm-hmm.
But it probably is due to the fact that if you don't have enough sulfur, you won't have enough methionine. All right? That's probably the overall message to get from this. All right? And so where do you get sulfur? Nuts, seeds, grains, and legumes. Chickpeas. Lentils. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Walnuts, by the way, high in sulfur. Alum vegetables. All right? And that... cruciferous vegetables and whole grains, all right? Now, the next thing I wanted to do, and this is from August 22, it was published, 24. So this is new stuff, and yeah. I believe this is, I'm trying to think where, if this is came from WebMD or from the NIH. I don't remember now where it came from. But it talks about, you know, L-methionine is an essential amino acid needed for many body functions, including building new proteins, supporting DNA activity, and repairing tissues, all this kind of stuff, and goes into the benefits, all right?
Mm-hmm.
But one thing I wanted to mention that we have not talked about, what overdose is it used that can be life-saving, all right?
Methionine?
Methionine can be used to treat a certain type of overdose. They can be life-saving. What is it? Tylenol overdose. Hmm. If you're going to die from a Tylenol overdose, essentially wipes out your liver and all that kind of stuff, all right, I can give you methionine. It blocks all those receptors, all right, that the Tylenol is supposed to try to kill, all
right,
or block, all right, so that you will live, essentially. All right? Now, the average person, this is, you know, this is for the ER doctor and the people, you know, in research kind of thing. The average person is not taking too much
Tylenol
kind of thing. But it's important. It is used in that area, all right? Number two is, we've already talked about it, but L-methionine, especially if it's from vegetarian vegetable sources, reduces the role of cancer risk. All right?
Well, you know, it's like you say, there's a lot of upside to changing your diet to this point where you're decreasing your methionine coming from animal fat and or animal protein and going to more towards the proteins from...
Yeah.
Plant-based.
So we've talked about reduced cancer risk, okay?
Right.
But, and I'm going to read this sort of line for line because I agree with what it says. But more human trials are needed to confirm whether L-methionine supplementation or L-methionine restriction would be beneficial for cancer risk reduction. Until then, L-methionine should not be used for cancer treatment,
mm-hmm.
but should be used as a way of preventing things. All right?
Right.
And probably the simplest way to say it is probably eat more of a plant-based diet mm-hmm. or proteins from vegetarian sources, all right? Not saying never eat meat. I'm not saying never eat fish. I'm not saying
right,
never eat
right.
protein. But if all
but
you
But there's
do
a lot of people who
that,
don't eat any of the plant-based proteins at all.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's the kind of person. That's the person I want to get this message to. You maybe need to look at this.
Right.
All right?
Right.
L-methionine can prevent neural tube defects, and that doesn't mean much to, but things like spina bifida, anencephaly. But bottom line is that it can help stop certain birth defects. We call them neural tube defects.
So that would be something the mother needs to take.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. All right. Can protect against liver damage. All right. We've mentioned that. All right. Now, there's something called S-adenosylmethionine, or it's called SAME. All right. It's
mm-hmm.
new, but a lot of people are taking it. All right. It may protect against liver damage issues long term if you take it. There are studies that suggest it will slow down cell aging, all right? And it probably will help, should I say, from cells damaged with pollutants, all right? We've mentioned this. L-methionine is found greatest in animal foods. We mm-hmm. mentioned that. But there seems to be a benefit, more of a benefit from non-animal methionine, plant-based methionine, than animal methionine, all right?
Now, a lot of the animals that we eat get their nutrition and everything from plants. Is the methionine from the plants that they're eating, or they produce their own methionine? Is that something that's known?
I don't know, Terry.
Okay.
I don't know. I should have looked that up. But I don't know the answer to that.
Yeah, okay. It's probably that they probably make their own because they're not eating proteins from plants. I mean, if you're eating grass like a cow does, there's no protein in that.
Now, let's talk about the side effects.
Okay.
This paper from, I think it's NIH, but updated August 22nd, 2024. So this is pretty up-to-date stuff.
Right.
But the side effects, all right, of L-methionine supplements, all right? Nausea, vomiting, drowsiness, irritability, dizziness, low blood pressure, all right? And probably the biggest message that they make a big point of, all right? But it has to do with homocysteine. But you have to take enough folic acid to make sure methionine metabolism is correct.
Got it.
All right? That's okay. Probably the biggest message to say.
All right?
Now, it has effects on cholesterol, by the way. All right? Some good effects. All right? But it's a new idea. It's new things happening. This, what we've talked about, is, I was going to say hot off the press. That's not the right word. But it's an area that is amazing. What's coming out is amazing.
Great. We'll see you on Wednesday.
We're going to Wednesday talk about, I think, and acetylcysteine, NAD. Okay. That's kind of the plan.
Excellent. Okay, we're going to be back. We've got to take this last break. We'll be returning with Another One Bites the Dust. No sound but the sound of speed. Machine guns ready to go. Are you ready? Hey, are you ready for this? Are you hanging on the edge of your seat? Out of the doorway, the bullets rip. Well, here it is, the end of October. Have we had an October surprise yet? Well, you know, they started working on October surprises a long time ago. They used the lawfare. They tried to impeach him a couple times. They've done everything possible to try and derail Donald Trump from ever being our president again. All has met with failure. So here we come to the October surprise. And it just doesn't seem to be anything out there. Now they're calling him Adolf Hitler, a fascist. What will they think of next? But you know what? This thing called early voting means that you should have started a long time ago and made it stick.